listening to a download from theoutdoorstation.co.uk. Number 460.
Hello and welcome back to another podcast at the Outdoor Station, recorded at the 2018 Photography Show at the NEC. In this, the second episode from the event, we talk to Ilford Photographic regarding a remarkable treatment for art paper to give you amazing printed results using your inkjet printer. We also speak with Atomos about how to correctly record high definition and 4K video straight out of your camera so it's ready to edit at broadcast quality. And Panasonic UK for their good, better, best suggestions for a camera for us outdoor enthusiasts. Now, if you listened to number 459, you'll know that I had been liaising with all the major brands prior to the show to get their suggestions as to the best camera for us and why, taking into account our needs, of course, when we're remote for several days at a time. I was also helped at the event by Andy Howell, who wandered the halls looking for, well, anything lightweight, unique, or just plain fun. And of course, everything we discovered and discussed during this podcast, all the links and images, etc., etc., can be found over on the show notes over on theoutdoorstation.co.uk. But first, let's hear from Kevin Walker, brand development specialist for Panasonic UK.
We have three product categories. We'll start with compact, go up to bridge, and then interchangeable lens. Predominantly, most people will start with a compact camera. So we're going to look at our premium compact, which is the TZ200. Then we're going to go on to the FZ330, and up to the G9, which is our premium, top-of-the-range interchangeable lens camera.
Okay, so starting with the compact camera then, let's look at the key features from an outdoors perspective. So these are people that go out for several days at a time. They're looking for cameras that won't be affected by adverse weather conditions, and also charging and battery life's a big thing as well.
Yeah, so great. So we're looking at the TZ200. The beautiful thing with the TZ200, firstly, is you can charge in camera. So you just need a USB port and you can plug the charger straight into the camera. It's also incredibly light and really small, but the beautiful thing is that you've got a 15 times optical zoom and you've got a large 1-inch sensor. So although you're carrying something in your pocket, you've actually got the capabilities of a much higher grade camera.
And the lens itself, is it 2.8 all the way through, or is it variable?
It's a variable. Predominantly with the TZ200, starts at a 3.3 up to a 6.4. So if you're doing wildlife and everything else, you kind of generally want a fairly shallow depth of field, but it's not necessarily that you need a 2.8 all the way through, because when you get far out on the lens with a smaller aperture lens, you don't want to suffer with low light problems.
So as I understand from the product code, the TZ, this is actually designed really for the travel market as well as the outdoor market. What are we talking about as regards weather resistance and that type of thing?
Absolutely. So TZ stands for travel zoom. It's not fully weather sealed. However, it's designed for traveling. So therefore, it's designed specifically for people that go out in adverse conditions and use cameras. We do fully weather sealed products, which we'll come on to in the FZ330.
And what about the video aspect? A lot of people now are looking, obviously, to shoot videos. What's the range of facilities it offers on the video?
Unbelievably, it will shoot 4K video. So it's a compact camera that will shoot 4K, but it also does 4K photo. So we're using 4K video technology to be able to actually, rather than softening it because we're worried about motion, it will keep each frame solid and sharp, so therefore you can lift a still out of it. So if you're working in low light conditions or whatever else and you shoot a short video, you can then lift a still from that actual bit of video.
Fantastic. Obviously, for people that do shoot video, a lot of people are looking to do selfies and stuff. At this particular price point, are we looking at a screen that will flip round?
Not on this particular model, no.
Okay. What is the price point of this?
$729. So, you know, it's a premium product, and it's the top of the TZ range. So it's for someone that travels a lot, takes photography seriously, and wants to get the very best images whilst not carrying a huge, great camera.
So really, the important thing about this actual product is the 1-inch sensor, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the results it gives you. Okay, so which one are you going to tell me about next?
Okay, so we're going to go on to bridge cameras, and we're going to talk about the FZ330. A lot of people kind of either dismiss bridge cameras or kind of think that they're not a real camera or they take them really seriously. And the beauty of the 330 is it's very small for what you're actually getting. You know, some of our big cameras are quite large and you're almost carrying a DSLR. With the 330, it's a really compact body, but you've got lots of zoom. So you've got from 25mm to 600mm and it's f2.8 all the way through.
Wow, so is that a 1-inch sensor as well?
No, that's a compact camera sensor. That's how we've got away with the smaller body. But however, you know, you tend to look at the cameras with a larger sensor, and the problem is that you then haven't got the f2.8. So whereas you may be kind of going, actually, I need a larger sensor, that sharpness of glass will make up for that.
Now, I understand this camera is also quite a crossover camera for people like vloggers and so on, because it does have a screen that flips out, it does the 4K. Does it have things like microphone inputs and that sort of thing?
It certainly does, yep. So you've got a fully articulated screen. It's not just a tiltable screen. It'll flip all the way out so you can actually see yourself as you're vlogging and walking along. It's got really good stabilisation. You know, the fact that it's got a 600mm lens and you can hand hold that without really concentrating is brilliant. But it will also shoot 4K video as well.
And do the cameras that we're talking about, have they now got features such as time-lapse? Because that seems to be very popular with people who are travelling.
Yeah, it's quite amusing because the whole time-lapse of the sunset or the sunrise is a big thing. They all do time-lapse and they also have things like Wi-Fi, so you can remote trigger your device. So if you're trying to shoot animals or whatever else and you've got a hide or you've got somewhere where you know the animal is going to come to, so a nesting area or whatever else, rather than disturbing them, you can actually set your camera up on a tripod, connect using Wi-Fi, connect to your device, whether it's an Android device or an Apple device, and you can remote trigger up to 30 meters away.
On the topic of Wi-Fi, am I right in thinking that if you want to post a quality picture on Instagram, you can take an image with these cameras, transfer it to your phone, and then post it that way?
Absolutely. So what we do is, once you've got it connected via Wi-Fi, you can either remote shoot or you can transfer images. You don't have to batch transfer, but you can if you want. You can actually view them and just select each individual image that you want, and they'll just bring them over to your device from your camera, which is brilliant for Instagram and all these things, because if you're in humid conditions, the last thing you want to do, particularly with something like an FZ330 with a weather-sealed camera, is start opening it to take your SD card out. Leave it sealed, transfer your images over, get them to your device, and then post them remotely.
Okay, so we are looking at quite a useful camera for my sort of needs, my listeners' needs, being outdoors with weather sealing, the Wi-Fi features, the flip-out screen, the 4K video, audio inputs, and a 2.8 all the way through. It's a good compromise unit that gives you all sorts of features, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of one of those cameras that quite often people will buy for a partner that isn't quite into photography, or just have as like they're kind of like a little second camera. And the biggest issue that you find is they're picking it up more and more and leaving the big heavy kit at home, because actually it is so capable. And one of the most unbelievable things of the product is the ridiculous price point. At $449, it's almost unbelievable that you can get all of those features in a good quality body.
Phenomenal price, yeah. Okay, so let's go to the top end then, and this is rather exciting stuff. So tell me about this particular product.
The G9. So we have three products in our top of the range. We basically have the G9, the GH5 and the GH5S, and they're all set for a particular market. So the GH5 is kind of a hybrid, so if you do half video and half stills, that's where it's designed. But the G9 is specifically for top-end photographers. It's the kind of, actually, why do I need to carry a big heavy camera when we have, you know, this capability? We've got huge stabilization, so you've got 6.5 stops of stabilization. It's got the world's largest EVF, so when you're talking about taking landscape photos and everything else, you need a large electronic viewfinder so you can then make sure that everything's in focus. But if you're then trying to shoot animals or whatever, something's moving fast, the problem is you've got this huge viewfinder and you want to check that it's in focus. So you can actually change the size of it. So you can then, depending on what you want, press tap a button on the side of the viewfinder and actually make it smaller. And you'll also notice with this, as on the FZ, they have touch screens. So moving your focus point, you can just focus wherever you want, to the point where actually we have a remote trigger. So you can literally touch the screen and it will not only focus on the point that you touch, it will actually reshoot the release the shutter. So you can just touch the screen and you go focus there and take the shot. So it's immediate.
Okay. And as good as those features are they something you can turn off and use it sort of purely old school?
Yes, I'm sorry to say, you can turn them all off and use it like an old school camera.
Well, it's just that sometimes in situations, you know, it could be raining, drizzling, whatever, you've got your equipment out, the slightest touch and all of a sudden you've lost the focus point of where you're looking at. That's all I'm thinking of.
Absolutely. We make all of these things that are amazing, but sometimes, like you say, you know, technology can fail. Technology, you know, can struggle or whatever else. But sometimes we just want to get really involved with our photography and we want to manually focus and we want to do all these things and get really involved with it. The beautiful thing with this is you can do everything manually. So whatever you want to do, whatever you're using on your, you know, your big kit, you can do exactly the same on a G9.
So let's talk about the other features then. Is it weather sealed as well? And does it have the microphone and the 4K and all the other things? I'm sure it does.
So this is fully weather sealed. It's also got your microphone, it's got the top screen, it's got the world's largest electronic viewfinder, it's the world's fastest autofocusing camera. You've got your microphone inputs, it can charge in camera, it comes with a cradle, so you can charge your battery out of camera. However, what you'll also notice is that the connector is just your normal kind of micro USB, so you don't need to go out and spend loads of money on cables specifically from us, you just use the one that you've already got for your tablet, plug it into the side of the camera, and then you use another one to have your spare battery charging in your cradle. The beautiful thing is, as well, the batteries are small. So quite a lot of people carry battery grips to hold it. I just throw an extra battery in my pocket. So it's really small and light. On top of that, when we talk about 4K, so we've been talking about lifting 4K photos from video, which is brilliant, and you end up with an 8.3 megapixel JPEG. However, the G9 will do 6K photo. So it's going to do a 6K video, and then you can lift a still from it. So that's an 18 megapixel JPEG. At 30 frames a second with a constant autofocus, up to 29 minutes and 59 seconds.
Wow. So, have you actually done it yourself?
I have. I do a thing called pre-burst. So pre-burst, because I'm a stills photographer, I find it very easy to kind of get my composition and then try and take the shot. The thing with pre-burst is you take one shot and it buffers a second before and a second after. So rather than doing a very long amount of video, I've just got a very short 2 second burst. It'll give me 30 frames before, 30 frames after. I can just literally touch on the screen, swipe left or right, find the actual one that I want, lift it out.
Very cool, very cool. So we've covered charging, we've covered the weather resistance. What about the lens? Because obviously this is a separate camera, you'd suggest a lens to go with it, but I presume there's a kit lens that comes with it.
So I always recommend the L kit. So the L kit comes with a 12 to 60 Leica lens. It's a 2.8 to 4, but it's weather sealed. It's a metal body lens. It's absolutely beautiful. It retails at 2019 with the lens. So, you know, it's a good price point. You've got $14.99 body only, and you can put your own lens on it. But as a go-to kit, if you were traveling and you wanted a lot of zoom, you wanted a lot of versatility, you could go for the 12 to 60 Leica kit. And then you can go for the 100 to 400 lens. So the 100 to 400 lens is a Leica lens, but it's the equivalent of 200 to 800 mil. So it's a huge, great lens. It's a 2.8 to 4 and retails at $1,299. But you've got to kind of think, you know, if you're talking about big kit, that's an uncarryable size lens. So you've got an 800 mil, and not only is it 800 mil, but you can hand hold it. So if you're in the middle of nowhere, you know, you don't want to carry big, heavy tripods and everything else. You want to have the faith in the kit and the kit to have the capabilities to use it at its extremes and nail that shot, and it can do it.
Well, Lumix has never let me down. I've got an FT3, one of your tough cams, and I see the range is still going. It's always been a very solid, reliable camera for me, but it's great because I just take it out when the weather is at its worst, and it performs and does everything, and I don't have to worry about it. And I'm pleased to see you still got it in the range.
Yeah, we've gone up a little bit. We're now on FT30. Not a huge amount have changed. Basically, what we've worked on within this product is the toughness. So we've made it tougher. But you're still using your FT3, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're trying to sell you a new camera, but you're still there going, nope, it still works perfectly. But we have done things like introduce the Wi-Fi and everything else. So moving those images across is brilliant. Because actually, if you've shot a meter underwater, for example, you can take it out. The camera can still be sat there dripping wet, and you can just transfer your images off while you're at the side of the ocean. I'll be processing those films on and getting them on social media, making yourself an Instagram sensation.
The Outdoor Station is your one-stop shop for audio and video entertainment for the self-powered traveller. You can find us online, on internet radio, on smartphones, on smart TVs, on YouTube, on Apple TV, on Now TV, and on Facebook. You can also stream us live via the iTunes app or TuneIn radio app. The list is continually expanding, and for full details of how to subscribe, download, or stream and enjoy our massive free library, please visit theoutdoorstation.co.uk.
Back in the old days of photography, when we used film and dark rooms, which was probably one of the most fantastic of my hobbies I ever had. You know, I miss my dark room. But back in those days, one of the big names that I always bought my photographic paper from was Ilford. And of course, Ilford still survives today as a brand in the new world of digital and printing. And I'm with Florian here, who has some really interesting products, I think. So I'm out there, I'm spending a lot of time on my gear, I'm spending a lot of time on my photography skills. So come on, your range, some of these photographs here look stunning. And I guess your colleague was just telling me I can now really purchase any art paper I like, and your products then help me turn that into the finished product. So Ilford today still looks as if it's innovating.
Yes, actually, we are live and kicking. Actually, when my bosses introduced us to this new product, Ilford Creative Emulsion, we were all excited within the company, especially those like me, those who are in photography for the last 30, 40 years. We learned photography in the darkroom, and as exciting the digital transition was, we all miss the darkroom times. And when we got introduced to this product, we as employees were excited. So what is this creative emulsion? What does it do? Is, as you already said, you can buy any kind of fine art paper or black carton, or even, if you see over there, cardboards, and you can coat this.
Yeah, now I should say, we're looking at a range of different types of paper or board, and some of them are fascinating that you wouldn't normally associate photographs with them, but really different tiles of textures. That's an interesting one there.
It's like a Chinese watercolor paper.
Yeah,
and really with the rough edges, very thin. You know, you think this is a paper for watercolor painting, but yeah, you don't associate it for printing.
Yeah.
But now we have two fluids. One is a transparent fluid. That means if you coat the paper with it, the uncoated areas, you still see the actual paper.
The actual finish.
Yes.
So tell me how the coating works. I'm buying a specialist coating from you. I'm coating the paper, the specialist paper that I bought.
Yes.
And then what happens in terms of the image?
Okay. So the kit of the coating equipment is the coating fluid plus a so-called coating bar, which is a metal bar with a wire around it. So what you do is you apply the coating at the beginning of the paper and then slide the bar over the paper. And with that, you distribute a thin layer of coating over the paper. And that's it. You just dry that. You can dry it just within 3 hours, or you take your own blow dryer at home and dry it. And then it's ready to print.
And then I'm using it like any other printer paper.
Yes. You use the standard matte settings in your printer settings, since it's a matte finish, and you just print it. And yesterday someone said, and how about ICC profiling? And I said, that's an interesting remark. When you use a standard Ilford photo paper, we say use an ICC profile, you do 100 prints of the same image on the same paper, you have identical results. And what we say here, you do 100 prints with creative emulsion on the paper, you get 100 different individual
prints. So that
results.
And that really is like being back in the darkroom, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes. It keeps it
there's
makes.
A, there's a place for standardization, yes. But there's a place for that kind of creativity.
Yes, exactly. As important standardization is in a production workflow, when we want to create a piece of art, something unique, standardization is our enemy. I hate it. And I want to create one piece of art which is one of a kind. I can sign it. I don't need to add a number to it. It's not a 1 out of 10 or 100. This is 1 out of 1. Even if I reproduce the same coating on the same paper, then it will still look different. what a lot of customers do is they, you know, we have a white coating fluid. You can then apply it with a brush and create a certain texture. You can even do it that thick.
So you're getting into a kind of oil painting tone.
Yes, you can even touch it and you feel the brush strokes. And of course you can see it. You can, we have a black cardboard. Unfortunately, you cannot see that. But imagine a black cardboard and we do an oval shape of coating. And then we print an oval masked image on top of it. And then you have something, you know, and then you have an image here where we masked it in Photoshop with a soft edge. And then we print it on this roundish coating and, you know, apply it with a brush. It's so unique. Everybody looks at the cardboard and first asks, oh, you can print white now? They said, no, that's not the ink what you see, that's the coating what you see.
I think, I mean, it's difficult to understand the quality of this until you see it, but it is absolutely fabulous. So if you imagine any quality art paper that you want to print on, this Ilford product will allow you to do it. Now, Ilford has always been famous for stunning black and white images, and there's a lot of stunning images here, but we're talking colour as well.
Yes, of course. You can. That's a good thing. Whatever you can print with your inkjet printer. You can print on this paper, so there's no limits. And the good thing is, since there's no limits, the limit is the capacity of the printer. You know what thickness of paper you can feed through, and your creativity. The printer has its limitation. Your creativity is limitless, I assume.
Well, I think if you are keen on your photography and you already have your own printer at home, which I know a lot of people do, you know, this really is worth having a look at. These are great images. And what we're talking about here is the product is the chemical that allows you to turn any piece of art paper into photographic paper. So, I mean, how much would that retail for? That?
First, let me explain. The white coating, what you see here, is the same microporous coating you see on a fine art paper.
Yeah.
So the printing results are as brilliant as you have it with a good fine art paper out of a standard commercial range. So we have a so-called starter kit with two bottles of 250 milliliter each. One is white. The other is transparent, and it comes with a coating rod, you know, the iron where you coat the paper with. The online, we show it the very first time here in the UK, here in Birmingham, at the photo show. So in about a week from now, it will be available online through our distributor, Tetina. And the price, online price, including shipment and VAT, will be £120. Okay. So £120, the question is, what do I get for £120?
Stunning images, I think, is the answer.
But how many stunning images can I do with 250 milliliter? That is an important question. So if you apply with a coating rod on an A4 white paper, you need to use about 10 milliliter. So you can do about 25 sheets of paper with this 250 milliliter. So you have 250 milliliter of white and 250 milliliter of transparent.
So while it might seem expensive, it's actually very good value for money in terms, certainly in terms of the quality of the output you're putting in.
Every print will be unique. And that's it. It's like you never ask about, you know, when you paint an image, you know, about all the paints you're using, you know, aquarelle or whatever paint you're using. That's the cost of the paint and the cost of the paper. Just don't consider it as a printing fluid. This is a paint, a digital paint, to create artwork with your digital image and the printer.
Okay, so as usual, all the details will be on the Ilford website if you go and have a look.
Ilford.eu.
And if you get a chance to see this in person, it's fantastic. But these really are fantastic images, and I think if you're serious about your photography and you're serious about mounting them or displaying them properly for exhibition or even at home, this is certainly something to check out, isn't it? And it's great to see Ilford still innovating and still surviving as a brand back into the modern
age. We are very happy about it. You know, I like that the company I'm working for is coming up with new ideas every year. So that's something I, as an employee, I really enjoy.
Well, Florian, I'll leave you to it because there's a lot of interest in the product here. Have a great show. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John.
Video is becoming more and more popular as YouTube and social media take over our lives. And just like still photography, consistent, high quality is something we all aspire to. What many people don't realize is that to get outstanding video quality out of your chosen camera actually requires you to bypass the internal recording system, as Richard Warburton from Atomos now explains.
So basically with Atomos, we're bypassing the limitations within the camera when you're working with video. So that's giving you monitoring and recording and playback, etc. And you know, the key thing is for photographers moving into video, photographers are very conscious of quality. We move from JPEG into RAW. And you know, even if you're delivering your stills for the web, you know, you're still shooting high quality RAW files that gives you the ultimate flexibility to grade those images for the best possible quality. And then if you are going to deliver to the web, you then export that excellent result out as a JPEG for online. Now with video, you know, a lot of people, if you shoot internally, your DSLRs and compact system cameras aren't just primarily designed for video. So they are throwing away a lot of color information, they are destructively compressing the video internally when they're recording, and that means that you're getting effectively the video equivalent of a moving JPEG still. So if you record at that quality, and then you go through an edit process, you start kind of manipulating, putting additional graphics and titles, maybe applying some effects, you're just going to further degrade that image, and it's going to really, really start to fall apart. In the same way that if you were trying to notably color correct or, you know, post-process a JPEG. So your end result for the video will be quite poor, and it won't match the level of your stills. So what Atomos does is it takes the output from your camera after the lens and the sensor. So it's bypassing all of the then destructive or limiting functions that happen within the camera from that point. And we record into an edit-ready format, which is either Apple's ProRes or Avid's DNX codec. So these are native post-production codecs that are visually lossless at the highest quality setting. They natively work in things like Final Cut 10, Adobe Premiere, Avid, Edius, you know, DaVinci Resolve, and pretty much most applications out there, even iMovie will accept it. And so it's a very, very accessible codec, which is giving you this super high quality straight off your camera sensor.
And I think what a lot of people don't understand is that the actual process that you have on the computer for editing your films afterwards, it actually has to work harder for footage that's recorded out of the camera on the camera chip than it does with the higher res format.
And that is completely correct. And you know, it's a question we get asked a lot, where someone goes, "Oh, you know, when I'm editing the video off my camera, my computer's struggling, and you know, if I'm going to move to this new ProRes or DNX format, which is a much bigger file, surely this is going to be a lot worse." And actually, the inverse is correct, where because ProRes and DNX are an edit codec, the software that works with them is optimized for those formats. So if you, the kind of best way to visualize it is, if you imagine taking your video and each kind of still is a piece of paper that's making up that video, what your DSLR does or your compact system camera, it'll scrunch that piece of paper up into a ball. You know, what ProRes does in the Atomos is it's like rolling up that piece of paper into a scroll. So the scroll is bigger than a scrunched up ball. But when you get back to the edit, your computer has to unscrunch that ball to work with that video, to change the color, to manipulate it. And that's a lot of computational power to do that. Whereas, you know, if you can visualize unraveling a scroll, it's easy. But also then talking about the quality side again, you know, a scroll, there's no creases, there's no artifacts on there. Whereas that scrunched up ball, you know, when you flattened it out, it's notably degraded. So, you know, people actually find, as long as you've got adequate storage to cope with the bigger file sizes, and the storage you're using can play back the slightly bigger files, which is only really relevant if you move to 4K. HD, pretty much most storage devices would cope with ProRes or DNX. It's only 4K that you would need to make sure you've got suitably quick enough storage. But yeah, the actual computer power required to work with that is much, much less. You know, programs like Final Cut 10 are written around ProRes. So the first thing it asks you to do when you import some footage, if it's not ProRes, is to actually convert it to ProRes. So you're kind of saving on that time. And obviously, if you convert poor quality into ProRes, you've still got all the quality loss. Whereas if you go straight into ProRes, you've got the optimum quality from the camera.
I know certainly, well, probably if not all cameras, most cameras now have got a HDMI output. And is that all you require as an input to your system?
Pretty much. So we can take an HDMI input from pretty much any output from a camera. All we require really as a kind of a main requirement is that the output from the camera is clean. So that basically means that there's no overlay on there, there's no kind of ISO setting or frame guides on there. So, you know, most camera manufacturers are very compatible with that, and their video functions have these clean output settings. So people like Nikon, even from like the old, when the original D800 came out and sort of D3200 era upwards, pretty much everything is compatible. Sony from like the Alpha 99 era onwards, so certainly all the modern A7, SR2s, 3s, you know, A9s, etc., A63, 500s are all compatible. Panasonic from the GH2 kind of upwards, you know, and even people like Fuji and Olympus now with things like the X-T2s, later cameras, and like the Olympus OMEM1s are compatible. Canon is where you have to be a little bit more careful because they make a lot of different cameras and they're quite protective of cannibalizing other divisions. From a DSLR perspective, the only cameras that officially give a clean output are the 5D Mark III and 5D Mark IV, 7D Mark II, and the 1DX Mark II. Everything else will, you know, not give you that clean output. So you'll have a kind of pointless recording because there'll be something on there that you don't want, kind of obscuring your image.
So what is the starting point now for people who have listened to you and think, okay, well, I've got my computer system, I know it will edit ProRes files or Avid files. What's the next stage they do? They've obviously got their camera, they presumably might have just a straightforward HDMI lead out of it. What is the item, is the starter item from your point of view that they should be looking at?
Yeah, so the entry-level product is what we call the Ninja Flame. All of our Ninja products are HDMI input-output products, so as well as recording in from the camera, we can also output to another monitor, to a TV, act as a playback and review device as well. But the starting point for that is £834, including VAT. And that is the unit with a travel kit with one empty drive carrier. We record to removable 2.5-inch form factor solid-state drives. So we don't make them. We qualify industry standards, people like Angel Bird and G-Tech on a specialist level, but you know, Samsung and Kingston and SanDisk on a more commodity level. So you will need to add an SSD to record to. You'll need an HDMI cable to connect your camera to the Atomos if you don't have one. Some sort of mount to mount it to your camera rig. So, you know, generic kind of magic arms, ball heads, hot shoe mounts, etc. You know, or you can look into more elaborate cage or shoulder mount systems, etc., with other peripherals. But you will need batteries if you're going to use this in the field. So we do a battery kit, which is two batteries and a fast charger, or we do a full accessory kit, which comes in a HPRC carry case, which can take the unit, comes with a battery kit, comes with the docking station for your media, kind of a sun hood if you are using it out in very, very, very bright conditions, because we actually are a 1500 nit brightness monitor. So that means that we're kind of about five times brighter than your average monitor, or, you know, over twice as bright as an iPhone, effectively. So, you know, you don't necessarily need a sun hood outside. It's more if you just need critical vision or you're monitoring HDR that you would need that.
Okay, so let's just, for the uninitiated, mm-hmm. You've got one connected here to a Sony A7, A7S2. You know, just for people who have not grasped this, what are they getting with this unit that we're looking at now compared to the back of the screen of their camera?
Yeah, so basically our monitors are full HD resolution, so it's a 7-inch display, which runs a 1920 by 1200. The extra height just gives us a little bit more space so our user interface doesn't intrude on the image too much. We basically give you all the monitor assist tools you need, so we give you focus peaking, zebras, false color, blue only, frame guides, anamorphic D-squeeze if you're shooting with things like Panasonic cameras and anamorphic lenses. We give you waveform scopes and a Luma and an RGB and a vector configuration. So it's giving you all of those professional video tools for judging framing, exposing, and focus that you don't get on the camera. We're also a color calibrated screen. So out the box, we're calibrated to the Rec 709 HDTV spec. And so, you know, if you're looking at the screen on your camera and you're looking at our monitor and there's a variance in color, you know that we're correct and, you know, the screen on your camera is uncalibrated. And we partner with X-Rite, and so you can use their i1 Display Pro to recalibrate the Atomos over time to ensure that accuracy on the screen is maintained.
And this goes everything up to 4K. So yep. what resolutions? 25?
Yep. P? So we basically do on our Flame series products, we support up to 4K 30 and 1080 60 frames a second. On our Inferno products, we support up to 4K 60 frames a second, which over HDMI is more suited to things like the Panasonic GH5 and GH5S. And then we can actually go up to 120 frames a second or 240 frames a second on the Inferno models for 2K stroke HD work, but there are limited cameras that can actually output those kind of higher frame rates.
And the final question is, obviously this is more aimed at, I would say, professional people or people with professional aspirations, or library producers, library photographers that are now being asked for videos at that sort of resolution. So for people using it in the field, whether they're traveling or whether they're doing it for wildlife or whatever, the final question has to be about the weatherproofing. If their camera's weatherproofed, is this weatherproofed as well?
To a degree it is. So it's basically an industrial design that is kind of ruggedized. So we have bumpers on there, we have lips on there to stop the screen getting damaged. You can knock it about quite a bit. It's basically made of an advanced kind of plastic composite compound, which is lighter than aluminium, but kind of offers the same sort of level of durability. You know, it's fine in sort of light rain, sleet and things like that. Cold and hot conditions are not an issue for it. The main thing in cold conditions is take care over managing your batteries before use. When they start being used, they will generate enough heat to kind of keep them working, but you will get a shorter runtime in low temperatures. But yeah, it's really just if you have got proper rain, you should use some sort of rain cover. The actual sun hood that comes in the accessory kit or can be bought as an individual accessory does help with that, because the way that it mounts onto the device kind of actually covers over air vents to a degree, so it shields them slightly. So, you know, if you're out in, you know, not like a serious thunderstorm downpour, that would probably be sufficient enough to keep the unit protected.
My thanks to everyone who took the time to talk to me during this busy show. Kevin Walker from Panasonic, Florian Grobler from Ilford, and Richard Warburton from Atomos. Plus, of course, Mr. Andy Howell. All the links to the items discussed, images and further details can be found over on the show notes on theoutdoorstation.co.uk. Now, I hope these podcasts are helping you in some way, and we would appreciate you sharing any of the social media links or shortcuts, or adding comments to any of the references you see on social media. It all helps us share the love. So until next time, folks, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear or see more from our extensive free library, please visit theoutdoorsstation.co.uk.